Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve.
For those of you who are just kind of following us, or maybe you're watching online and you haven't kind of known what we're doing, we're going through the book of John. We're at a crucial aspect of the passage of Scripture where John begins to talk about the crucifixion and the trial, and in that he creates a number of characters. And that leads me to an important question to ask all of us today. And that question is this: what is your fire level? What do you mean by that? Are you on fire? And I don't mean that literally, obviously. Most people will know that when I've asked them if you are on fire or what is your fire level, it refers to the level of passion, the level of intensity, the enthusiasm that we have, the devotion and the commitment that we have. I did a project this week, and it just proved one thing, that I'm getting very old. So the question was this: do you know who Pete Rose is? Everyone who was below 35 did not have a clue as to who Pete Rose was. Those people who were older, almost all of them gotten them. Thing is, if you were older and you were raised in this country, you would know who Pete Rose is. How many Pete know who Pete Rose is? All right, all you older people, God bless you. How many do not know who Pete Rose is? All you younger people or multicultural people who've not been raised in this country, God bless you as well. Pete Rose is probably one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the game. He played for a number of teams, including the Montreal Expos, but his fame was with the Cincinnati Reds. He played over a number of years. He was an all-star 17 years. He won the World Series with his team 3 times, but his greatest claim to fame was the fact that he is the all-time leader in hits over a career. 4,256 hits. Isn't that incredible? Stop to consider that. There's only about 50 people in the history of baseball who have hit over 3,000 hits, just a handful of them. And of those who have hit over 4,000, two. His nickname, Pete Rose's nickname was this: Charlie Hustle. And you wonder, how does a guy like that get the name Charlie Hustle? Well, in his rookie year, he was playing against the New York Yankees, and the popular New York Yankees at that time were Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford. And they're sitting on the bench watching that. Their team's up to bat, and one player hits the ball way over the fence. And Rose, who was playing outfield at that time, the home run went about 40 feet over the fence. And Pete Rose was at the fence, and he leapt. He tried to dive for a ball that was probably at the ceiling at that time. It was impossible for him to get, but he still leaps at the wall. Very next inning, he's up to bat. And he gets a walk, but what he does is he sprints. Like a 100-yard dash, he sprints to first base. And Mickey Mantle says to Whitey Ford, "Check out Charlie Hustle. Check out Charlie Hustle." Now, there are other things that Pete Rose are known for, but that's for another sermon. We'll save that. But one thing I'll say this: when it came to baseball, Pete Rose was on fire. And when we come to make the connection spiritually, faith in serving Jesus, being on fire should not be an option. When it comes to serve Jesus, God requires absolutely everything of all of us. And we see that throughout Scripture. We see Jeremiah saying, "If they say that I'm not supposed to speak his word, it is like within me a fire. I can't keep it in." And if you read in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, it talks about that. Paul, as he's bringing up Timothy in 2 Timothy, his second letter, I think it is 1 Timothy chapter 6, something like that. Or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "Listen, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. Don't let it go on. Be hot for him. Passionately follow him. This is something which is extremely important as we serve Jesus with all of our hearts, and we're supposed to be on fire for him. And for some reason, that doesn't take place in our lives. And sometimes we get distracted, and sometimes we get overwhelmed, and sometimes we go through the crisis that gets us distracted from where we should be, or sometimes we just get so plain apathetic that we lose the fire. What is your fire level? What is your fire number out of 1 and 10? If I were to ask you today, personally, what number are you out of 10 in terms of your fire ability for God? Or what one word would you use to describe the passion that you have for Jesus? I'm red hot. I'm smoldering. I'm in danger of being extinguished. That God calls us to be on fire. And this becomes important as we look at John chapter 18. And God begins to talk about the capture, the trials, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Christ. And John, being who he is, begins to describe some of the individuals, which is great for us. We get to see some of the people who are in action. And you got to remember that John was so close to it. He was right there. And as he's talking about this, he is just feet from all the things that are happening and going on. So one of those individuals is Peter. And I'll just say that as we take a look at the adventure or the moments or the categories in Peter's life, you will realize that as he goes through these times, fire is not far by, or it is in the midst of it. And it's interesting, and I don't know if it's just coincidence or whatever, but fire is representative of the Holy Spirit. And as we see God working in Peter's life, we see that God is changing him, calling him to a closer walk. He does the same for us. He does the same for you here today. I'm not too sure exactly where you are in the process. And so, Peter, what not a better person to talk about with this? If you were to talk to 100 Christians and you say, what disciple do you resonate with the most? Well, probably 90% will be Peter. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because most of the time when there is discourse that takes place, it is Peter. Peter monopolizes the conversation of all that is happening and taking place. And so we kind of know more about him. You can sit there and say, of all the disciples, who are you most like? Most people will say Peter because that's the one we know. Hey, who are you like? Well, I'm kind of like James the Lesser. Well, we don't even know James the Lesser. We didn't even hear anything about him, do we? We certainly hear about Peter. And the other thing about Peter that we really, really are attracted to is the fact that he is flawed, isn't he? That there are things that he did wrong, that there are times where he went through difficult times. And so we can figure that out. And the fact that he is so emotional, you know, it intensifies the good and the bad about Peter. I don't know if you realize this, but every time that in the Bible where they talk about who the disciples are, Peter is the first one mentioned. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew, it says this, the first is Peter. That's what it says. And if you take a look and check out the Greek, it basically says this, Peter was the leader of the disciples. And so the important thing to do, to show here, and I believe that John does this, is because as all these things are happening, I believe that John was actually standing right beside Peter. He has something to say. There are things that he incorporates in the Word of God and in the Gospel of John that we see nowhere else, because John's seen it as being something which is important. And I think that it's important for us to see. So let me show you the four levels of Peter, if I could. And we'll start with John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. It says, then Simon, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup which my Father has given me? We kind of read over that last week. Now let me just show you something. At that time, one thing that I mentioned last week, or the week before actually, was that when they came to see Jesus, the estimation was that it was kind of like a squadron. It wasn't just like 100 people. It was up to 1,000 people. And it says that they came with torches. They came with all these weapons and torches. So if you were to imagine the scene, there were hundreds of torches that were lit up at this occasion. That Peter was close to fire at this particular time. He was what we will call a boisterous person. He was brave and he was boisterous, wasn't he? I use those two words, but the two words really aren't the same, are they? Like, he was a fiery individual, and that's probably why Paul said to him, you know, Peter, I'm going to call you rock, right? Now, the question I'd ask myself is, if there was a person that I were to guess would cut off somebody's ear, it would probably be Peter. Either that or Simon the Zealot, who was kind of, you know, kind of known there, known for that type of thing. But there was something about his personality. What does it mean to be a boisterous person? They have a big personality. People often notice if a boisterous person is in the room. As I looked through the definition, there were words that were said rough and noisy, jolly, rowdy, clamorous. Now there's a word. Unrestrained. And even as I'm saying this right now, you are probably thinking of a boisterous person in your life. No? Probably. Boisterous people are seldom quiet. Boisterous people are seldom without an opinion. Boisterous people are often the first to speak, often have a problem with that filter mechanism in their life. And the thing about boisterous people is that their bodies and their babbling will precede their brains. Right? And it fit his occupation. He was a fisherman. Same with James and John. What'd they say about James and John? Fishermen? Sons of thunder. Something about that. But despite that, the fact that we know that he was boisterous, we also need to understand that he was extremely brave. There's no way I'm ever going to do that. And he was the first one to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. And he was the first one, or the only one, to step out of the boat. And he's known for all these things of bravery. And it was like this. It's like I want to be like Peter. And the other side of me says, I don't want to be like Peter. Because even though Jesus commends him one second, he's the first one to kind of call Peter Satan as well. There's some things. And so I ask myself, and I ask you today, what was the problem with Peter prior to the resurrection? What was the problem? What was the thing that caused Peter to always fall short? And I'll say it as this, that he sought to serve God in his own power, in his own abilities, in his own wisdom, in his own confidence, and on his own opinion. And the thing is this, many times we believe that if I can be independent, but with God, you go from independence to dependence. And even if you are doing all the right things and you are doing a great job, if you are doing it on your own power, you will always fall short. God will never get the glory on things that you do in your own power. And there are some of us who are really good at doing it in our own power. And for those people who are like that, Satan loves to pat you on the back for that. You are doing a great job. Look at all the wonderful things you were going for God. I don't know how God did it before you were here. And what happens, what takes place, is all the good that we do is trapped by the fact that we do it in our own power. Self is still on the throne. And it ends with frustration and anger. And we always end up in the same place because we are in control. We are the ones that rule the narrative. And there's the process where God has to say, what wonderful things that you do, but what you have to do is you have to follow me. The whole crux of Christianity is the fact that you cannot do it on your own. You can't work your way to salvation. You can't work your way to doing all these things thinking, this is what I have done for God, where it is God is the one that needs to be glorified. Boisterous, brave Peter. Well, next it goes on to what we will call broken Peter. Let's read on in the chapter, in chapters 15 and a number of verses there. It says, and Simon followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Jesus had been taken there, going to follow him into trial. And now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servant and officers who had made a fire, here we go, a fire of coals, stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And we'll go on to verse 25 of chapter 18. It says, now Simon stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with them? And Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. We go from fiery Peter to Peter under fire. He's there in the midst of torches. Secondly, when we see broken Peter, he is also by a fire warming himself. I don't know if you realize this. All four of the Gospels talk about Peter denying Jesus. All four of them. You ever wonder about this passage where it says, hey, they kind of went there, but Peter couldn't get in, but the other disciple did get in because he knew the high priest. And so he sat there and talked to the right people and got Peter in. Do you remember that? Did you kind of even notice that passage there? Who was that guy? Well, most commentaries believe that the style of telling stories at that time, a person never ever mentions themselves. And this is certainly true of John, is it not? He never said, I. He basically called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so in this particular instance, it is thought that it is actually John, the writer of this book, who was the one who knew the high priest. How is that? Well, because his dad was, come on. Zechariah? No. Okay. I will get it. Zedekiah. Yes. Or Zebedee. The sons of Zebedee. There we go. Sorry, folks. I had a brain cramp there. It was even in my notes that I refused to look at. That although Zebedee was a fisherman, he also had people who worked for him as well, which meant that his business was probably lucrative. And with his business, he probably dealt with people who were in the temple, including the high priest. He was known. Isn't that interesting? You ever look at the book of Mark? You know, and Mark is like Peter's rendition of the story, right? But in the book of Mark, when they capture the Jesus, it says that there was a guy. Remember the story? There's this guy, and all he had was like this linen jacket or this linen outfit on, and they try and grab him, and he says, I bailed out of it and took off naked. Well, who is that? Well, based on the same, most people believe that that was actually Mark. That was actually the writer of the gospel, based on the same level of writing at that particular time, and he was younger. It makes sense, doesn't it? There you go, folks. That is for free. There's some knowledge that perhaps you didn't know. Anyways. So Mark's gospel, as he talks about it, and that's Peter's story, goes graphically into the fact that Peter, as he's kind of telling the story himself, said he was cursing, he was swearing. Like Peter never ever hides this whole thing from anybody, and all of the gospels talk about it, which means that there was something impactful about it. And if you were to use words to describe Peter's experience, you would use words like the fact that it was humbling, like the fact that it was hurting, that it would have been something that haunted him. And if you take a look at these passages of Scripture and these words are tools that Satan will use to get you down, to get you to hide, to get you to walk away. But the thing is, they are also the same tools that God uses to get us to realize that we can't do it on our own. That God wants to know us intimately so that he will be in control of our lives. That God uses both of those things. And so if you take a look at it, it was the one thing at the crossroads of Peter's life that would have made him walk away or to draw nearer to Jesus. And I'll say this, that those fiery experiences where we are under fire, by the fire, also happen in our lives as well. Could you imagine, folks, if this occasion would have never happened? Could you imagine if Peter had never gone through this time? He would have continued to try and do things on his own strength. He would have never realized the fact that until I am broken before God, God cannot totally use me because I'll never get to the point where I realize my need of him. So we have fiery Peter, who is boisterous and brave, but on his own strength. And then we have broken Peter, which God allows to realize Peter who he is. And from there we go to the third fire, which is built up Peter. Chapter 21. Let me read from it. Let me just say this as well before I start reading it. The story happens that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and as they go out fishing, they say, hey, try catching fish on the other side, and this whole thing, they realize that it's Jesus. And by the time they get to the shore, Jesus has done what? He's made a fire. Isn't that interesting? So I'll pick it up, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And he spoke significantly by which death that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Fiery Peter goes to Peter under fire. And at this point, he goes to Peter through the fire. This is interesting when you think of it. Because this is the only place in Scripture where this is mentioned. And John specifically, 20 years after the other Gospels are written, makes sure that he includes this. Because what John wanted people to realize that Jesus will never leave you in a state of brokenness. But he will use the brokenness to build Peter, to reinstate him, to restore him. Some people have kind of, and I have even asked, what is it with the three times? Why did he have to say, do you love me, three times? Now, there's a whole bunch of things that we could look into this.
Restore Peter. He wanted to reinstate him. He wanted to reaffirm him. But not only that, he wanted to reassign him. Basically what he says, Peter, I know that you love me, but what it requires is for you to no longer go back to fishing, because that's not where you're going to find me. I've got a greater work for you. You will not find fulfillment in the old life. Don't revert to the old life. Allow me to put you in the place where I can use you for my glory. And God does that. He does that to us. He allows the presence of God to move. And so you see the threefold process of God working Jesus, working Peter as fiery to under fire and through the fire. In the fourth part, we see in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And you read in verse 3 of Acts 2, then there appeared to him divided tongues as of fire. That's 1-2. Wait, Mike, if you could. Yes. So all of a sudden we see Peter, who is on fire, finally, as he's gone through this process and God has worked in his life, and he's the one who stands up on the day of Pentecost and thousands of people come to know Jesus, and he has a boldness. But it's not a boldness based on his own strength. It is the boldness which is based on the fact that Jesus was in control of every part of his life. And I have only this to say to any single person who is listening today: God, set me on fire. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, you cannot do it on yourself. You need to come to him and say, God, you need to come into my life, because it's impossible for me to do it on my own. But for those of us who have been in the faith for a number of years, and those of us who are struggling over situations that have happened, things that are going on, and somehow we have waned in our walk, that God calls on you today, calls on me today, to reignite, to fan into flame the fire, to be passionate followers of Jesus. What is your fire level? God, I just pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to move in each and every heart today. Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out, God, light the fire again. Allow your presence to speak to us. Allow us to leave this place today and saying, God, I'm not happy with the level of passion that I'm at. God, I want to be on fire. We can remember a time when we were just on fire, telling everybody about God. We were on fire because we knew he had control. And if that has waned in any way, God, I pray that you speak to hearts. I pray that you convict every single person here, God, because as the same time it is with Peter, you work on us as well. Allow whatever fire that we go through to be the thing that causes us to passionately follow you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages, or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.